Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. All We Can Save Truth, Courage, and Solutions for the Climate Crisis is a 2020 anthology edited by Catherine K. Wilkinson and Ayanna Elizabeth Johnson. Bringing together essays, poems, and artwork by women climate leaders, the book examines the climate crisis through a deliberately diverse and interdisciplinary lens. Its purpose is not only to describe the scale of the problem, but to widen the public conversation about who leads climate action and what forms that leadership can take. The collection includes scientists, journalists, organizers, policymakers, farmers, lawyers, poets, and designers, which gives it both intellectual breadth and practical reach. Rather than framing climate change as a purely technical issue, the anthology presents it as a challenge shaped by justice, culture, communication, and collective responsibility. The title, drawn from Adrian Rich, signals the book's central concern with persistence and reconstruction in the face of loss. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a feminist rebalancing of climate leadership. One of the book's clearest interventions is its effort to correct the long-standing imbalance in climate discourse, where white male voices have often dominated public attention. The anthology was assembled to show that climate leadership is already broad, varied, and deeply informed by women working across sectors and communities. This is not presented as a symbolic gesture. Instead, the editors use the collection to argue that exclusion has practical costs when leadership is narrowed. The movement loses perspective, legitimacy, and creative capacity. By centering women from different generations, racial backgrounds, and professional fields, the book suggests that climate solutions improve when more lived experience enters the conversation. The result is a reframing of expertise itself. Leadership is not limited to policymakers or scientists alone, but includes storytellers, advocates, indigenous voices, and community builders. That broader framing is one of the book's most important contributions to climate literature. Secondly, essays, poetry, and art as a combined climate response. The anthology is structured as a blend of essays, poems, and visual art, and that form is central to its meaning. Climate change is presented as an issue that overwhelms single registers of explanation, so the book deliberately combines analytic writing with creative expression. Essays provide argument, evidence, and strategy. Poetry and art provide emotional and imaginative access to grief, hope, and responsibility. This mixture makes the collection feel less like a standard policy reader and more like a full cultural response to crisis. The format also reflects the idea that climate action requires more than information. People need language for loss, endurance, and possibility if they are to stay engaged over time. By moving between genres, the book shows how narrative, feeling, and evidence can reinforce one another rather than compete. That makes it especially effective for readers who want a climate book that is both intellectually serious and humanly resonant. Thirdly, Truth, Courage, and Solutions as a Practical Climate Framework. The book's subtitle functions as a compact framework for understanding its approach. Truth means facing the reality of the climate crisis without denial or minimization. Courage means sustaining action despite the scale of the problem and the emotional burden it creates. Solutions means moving beyond alarm toward concrete pathways for change. These three ideas work together because the anthology refuses both despair and shallow optimism. It acknowledges the seriousness of the crisis while insisting that action remains possible. Many contributions emphasize that climate communication must be honest enough to clarify the stakes, but constructive enough to help readers see how progress can happen. This balance is one of the anthology's strengths. It neither reduces the crisis to a moral panic nor treats it as an abstract systems problem detached from ordinary life. The framework is useful because it can be applied in advocacy, education, and public communication, making the book more than a cultural statement. It becomes a guide for climate engagement. Fourthly, intersectional climate justice across race, class, and place. A major theme running through the anthology is that climate change does not affect everyone equally. The book repeatedly links environmental harm to inequality, showing that the burden of droughts, flooding, displacement, and food insecurity often falls hardest on communities already facing structural disadvantage. Women are central to this argument not simply as symbols of inclusion, but because the anthology recognizes that gendered roles in caregiving, food production, and community survival shape vulnerability and response. At the same time, the collection does not reduce climate justice to gender alone. It brings in indigenous perspectives, racial justice, labor concerns, and local knowledge to show that climate solutions must be socially as well as technically viable. This makes the book valuable for readers who want to understand why climate policy often fails when it ignores power, history, and inequality. The anthology argues that effective climate action must be built from justice outward, not added as an afterthought. Lastly, a resource for education, organizing, and public engagement. Although the anthology is literary in form, it is also built for practical use. The book has been paired with educational resources that include discussion questions, classroom activities, and assignments, which shows how directly it can be used in teaching and organizing contexts. That practicality matters because the anthology is not only asking readers to reflect, it is asking them to participate in climate work. Its essays and poems are readable enough for broad audiences, but substantial enough to support serious discussion in schools, book groups, nonprofits, and community settings. The collection is especially useful for readers who feel overwhelmed by climate coverage and want a starting point that is intellectually grounded but not narrowly technical. It can help educators introduce climate topics through ethics, creativity, and civic responsibility rather than only through data. In that sense, the book stands out as a bridge between reflection and action, designed to move readers from awareness towards sustained engagement. In conclusion, All We Can Save will be most valuable to readers who want a climate book that combines analysis, creativity, and public purpose. It is well suited to students, educators, activists, policymakers, and general readers who are looking for a more inclusive account of climate leadership than most standard environmental books provide. Its main practical benefit is that it helps readers think beyond climate doom. It offers language for grief, but also models how truth-telling, solidarity, and imagination can support action. Intellectually, it is useful because it shows how climate change intersects with justice, communication, and cultural change, not just science and policy. What distinguishes it from many books in the same category is its anthology form and its intentionally broad range of women's voices. Rather than presenting one expert view, it builds a collective picture of climate leadership across disciplines and identities. That makes it especially strong as a teaching text, a discussion starter, and a reference point for people seeking climate ideas that are serious, human, and actionable. If you would like to support Catherine K. Wilkinson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.